President Trump's pick to run that Consumer Bureau is asserting administration control. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Despite a challenge in federal court to his legal authority, Trump's man has now instituted a freeze on hiring and new rulemaking at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. This even as a rival leader, chosen internally, also claims to be the rightful boss. The CFPB was the brainchild of Senator Elizabeth Warren, Democrat from Massachusetts. Thanks for taking the time here.
Thank you for having me.
Why are you fighting the president so hard on this? It's just an interim appointment. This U.S. Senate would still confirm the permanent position anyway.
That's true. But this is about following the law. Dodd-Frank created the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and the law that Congress put in place specifically says the deputy director takes over when the director is absent or unavailable. So if we're going to have a deputy director who's going to take over on an interim basis, it ought to be done according to the law. There's no vacancy here for Donald Trump to fill.
The president of the United States says the bureau has been a total disaster. You saw that. Continuing, he said, quote, financial institutions have been devastated and unable to properly serve the public.
Actually, what the agency has done is made it a lot harder for giant financial institutions to cheat their customers. In fact, since the agency's been up and running over the past half dozen years, it's forced the largest financial institutions in this country to return about $12 billion directly to consumers they cheated. It's handled about 1.2 million complaints against student loan outfits, against big banks, against different kinds of lenders. And that's the reason that a lot of these big banks really don't like it. And President Trump is right. This agency has made it harder for those big banks to cheat consumers.
More of that interviews online. Note that I spoke with Senator Warren yesterday afternoon before President Trump referred to Warren as Pocahontas during a ceremony for Native American war heroes. Numbers, the FTSE in London up 0.6%, Dow Future up 37 points. You count on Marketplace to keep you informed about the economy and then some. It's what we talk about and how we talk about it in what we hope is an approachable, objective, and sometimes unexpected way. As a nonprofit news organization, we have a mission that drives what we do every day, to increase economic intelligence across the country. I think it's important work that we're already doing, but with your help, we'll be able to do more of it. For as little as $5 a month, consider signing up as a Marketplace investor. It's a way to directly support independent reporting and journalism you can trust, and the payoff comes in knowing that you're helping educate and inform people about the economic forces that affect our lives. Donate today at marketplace.org, and thank you. I want to take you back one century to 1917, a time when factory workers walking along this sidewalk in New Jersey shined with an inner light.
They were nicknamed the Ghost Girls because as they walked home at night, they would glow ethereally. So they would literally be covered in it. And so everything was shimmering.
That's Kate Moore, author of a new book called Radium Girls, about the terrible fates of women who worked in a factory that opened 100 years ago. What happened to the women at the U.S. radium plant here became one of the most macabre and consequential workplace safety cases of all time. Workers were told to lick their paintbrushes to help them put glow-in-the-dark highlights on wristwatches and aircraft dials using the radioactive paint manufactured here. Ms. Moore, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So they're ingesting this stuff.
Yes.
And how long until it starts to become apparent that some of the women working on the second floor here were becoming ill?
We're talking kind of at least 5 years after the women worked in the studio that they're getting sick. So why would you connect a job that you did 5 years ago to you being ill? In fact, the only reason they started to connect it is because of the friendship networks with the women. Because while the company was trying to say, no, you're not sick because of the work, it was the women in their early 20s getting together and saying, there is something going on about this thing.
I mean, you get a very strong sense of it reading the book, but radium poisoning is a horrendous condition to endure.
Well, I think one of the most frightening things about it was the slow and steady way it would decay these women's bodies. Their spines, their legs, their arms, their jawbones were honeycombed and moth-eaten. These enormous cancerous tumours began to grow on them, and they were huge. Irene Laporte, who worked right here in Orange, she died of a pelvic tumour. And her doctor, Harrison Martland, said that when she died, it was larger than two footballs.
Now, of course, the company did not cop to this.
They fought it with everything they had
at
their disposal.
They even impugned the honour of some of the women who were sick.
When the women died, some of them were buried on death certificates mistakenly for syphilis. And that was seized upon by these companies to cast slurs on their personalities and their morals. You know, they're trying to speak out. And of course, the radium firms not wanting that lucrative industry to be affected in the slightest. They're silencing the women with everything they've got.
When you look at this case in terms of workplace safety, there are a lot of lessons. But among them is there were some very narrow limits of what an industrial worker could receive compensation for?
Yes, limits in terms of what they could receive compensation for, but also limits in terms of how long they had to file suit. And radium poisoning is so insidious, it takes years, sometimes decades, to show itself.
And so those limitations in terms of you have 2 years for something like this ultimately changed, I think.
The women changed the law and they changed the lives of other workers. They were going to die. There was no hope for them. But what they did in embarking on these landmark, groundbreaking legal cases to protect workers is that they brought about changes and other protections that would mean that other people would not suffer what they did. And I think that's quite a legacy to leave.
Ms. Moore, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Kate Moore's book is called Radium Girls, The Dark Secret of America's Shining Women. We did this interview at the old U.S. radium location in Orange, New Jersey. The factory's long gone, but the location became a Superfund toxic cleanup site, and it's now a children's playground. You can hear kids playing in the background. Don't miss our video at marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.